We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Showtime! How y'all feel? T-T-Badger! Multi-hostile! Highly motivated, motivated, motivated!
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling in hour number two. Scooter Hibbs with us in hour number one. You can catch it on the podcast if somehow you missed it. Maybe just joining the show right now. Go to kfhradio.com. Jad will get that going for you. And it's available to as any parts of this show have been. Feel free to find it on the podcast. We appreciate hearing from those of you that that do exactly that. Shane, I thought Fred Van Vliet yesterday was great. Did you hear his?
I did. It was
spot
on. Well,
the one quote was fabulous.
Yeah,
just absolutely.
Basically,
fabulous.
He said after the parade or during the parade, all those guys take the microphone, and Fred had his turn. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "You guys killed us when we lost. You guys were all over us when we got swept the last 2 years. So you better enjoy this bleep all summer long."
Which
and
was just
the place,
hilarious.
Of course, went crazy, and there were over a million and a half people in Toronto that lined the streets for the Raptors parade, not surprisingly. Were you surprised to hear four people got shot?
Yeah.
I mean, does that –
very.
Is that a thing?
So disappointed.
They're all – so disappointed. None of them have life-threatening injuries, according to Toronto police, which thank God for that. But what That kind of took me aback a little bit. That four, not just one person, four people got shot during a parade of the first ever championship, for the Toronto Raptors. Come on, of all the times, not just to be a knucklehead, but be
just
waving a gun
can't
around.
Can't we be better than that? I mean, really? I don't know. I just don't even get me started. Reading about something. Traffic jam in Florida where two people get out irritated with one another, shoot each other, and kill each other.
Hadn't heard that one. That's
this is how we figure things out these days. Good Lord, please. I mean, whatever happened to just yelling at someone or flipping them off and being on your way? I mean, now we got to pull out a gun and shoot each other. I don't understand it. Don't understand it.
Well, I don't know what prompted the shooting in the parade, but again, thankfully nobody was killed, but that certainly took a little shine off of that otherwise great day in Toronto. Speaking of Toronto, our guy, Edwin Jackson, who set a major league record by pitching for his 14th team, when he made his debut for the Blue Jays a month ago.
Yeah.
Didn't have things go very well for him last night, and frankly hasn't as a Blue Jay yet either. He has an ERA over 12 after not making it out of the first inning and giving up 7 runs, including 3 home runs last night to the Angels.
I'm not even joking when I say this. You have a better chance to get 3 outs when a hitter can put a ball on a tee. Think about
I'll go you one farther. You maybe have a better chance of getting 3 outs just throwing BP.
Yeah, just
because they're
going to
pop one up into the cage, or they're going to get under one, or they're going to hook one that probably would have been 3 outs instead of 3 home runs, 2 walks.
I mean, it's just it's crazy. But
his
that's baseball.
He's got 25 and a third innings pitched, 46 hits. That's a .390 opponent batting average. And he's given up 12 home runs in 25 innings. So every other inning, Edwin Jackson has given up a home run. He has given up at least one home run in every one of his outings as a Blue Jay. His only win has been against Baltimore.
Well.
5 innings, 2 runs, including one home run in that one. He's had a game, well, I don't know, maybe you saw this one. May 31st, 10 runs in 2 1/3 at your guys' place in a 13-6 win by the Rockies.
I was at that game. Yep.
He also started a game that the Blue Jays had given up 12 against Boston. He started a game against San Diego that the Padres ended up having 19. He only gave up 7 of them, but 3 of them were home runs. These are staggering numbers, not the good way, for a guy that we both not only want to see succeed, but we want to see him play for another team after this, too.
Oh, my God, yeah. He needs to keep accumulating teams.
To get to 15. He's only 35. And if he would have parlayed this into 7 average to good outings, Blue Jays may have flipped him at the trade deadline. But who's going to want him now unless he really figures something out in the next 3 weeks? But he is 1-5 with an ERA of 12.43 in his 7 games pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays, his record-setting 14th team. Edwin Jackson, if you need him. Last night. 3 home runs in the first inning and 12 overall in 25 1/3 for him.
Wow. Toronto.
Maybe getting close to the end.
Yeah. Well, and they keep rolling them out. They've got 2 guys on that staff that are more than likely going to get flipped at the deadline. So
how are the – am I asking? I'm going to get the standings here in a second. Are they at least okay, Toronto? Are they hovering about?
No, they're horrible.
Are they horrible? Okay.
Oh, yeah, they're like 19 back.
All right. Well, speaking of horrible, there was a Blue Jays 26-46. Yeah, so they're 20 under. The pillow fight in Seattle last night was won by the Royals, actually.
well, I mean, if they're going to beat anyone right now, it might as well be Seattle. They're horrible.
I guess I didn't realize the nosedive that the Mariners have taken since opening the season, just white hot and hitting home runs. Talk about every other inning hit a home run. Man, that Seattle is struggling. But the Royals last night helped to kind of keep them on that skid. This is probably the first legit shot that the Royals have to win a road series, maybe in a couple of months, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they play 4 in Seattle and kind of played a back and forth last night, a game in which they won 6-4. For some reason, I've watched a fair amount of it, I have to admit. Danny Duffy kind of slogged his way through 5 innings. Took him forever to get through 5. I think he threw over 100 pitches just to get through 5 innings. In a game in which the Royals took an early lead and then started playing back and forth and giveaway before our guy Jorge Soler hit a 2-out, 2-run home run in the 8th inning. And the Royals end up winning it 6-4.
Well,
19 home runs now for Jorge Soler, tying him with Mike Moustakas.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I agree. Ricky Porcello was good last night. Red Sox are hot.
2-0 over the Red Hot Twins.
Over the
Red
Twins
hot.
On the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, love it. It's getting interesting. They're within 5.5 of the Yankees now.
So what are they going to do at the deadline? You want to talk about the Red
question.
Sox?
Good question. I think they need one more arm in the pen. But if they get if Eovaldi continues to come back off of his injury and if he can pitch well, and their staff seems to be solidifying a little bit, and their lineup is. Well, their lineup is tremendous. Benintendi's back from injury. Jackie Bradley Jr.'s starting to see the ball a little bit better. That should be a pretty good ball club by the time that we roll into August. So I'll take our chances. Got to reel in Tampa first.
And they got shut out by the Yankees last night, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Edwin Encarnacion played his first game as a Yankee. He was traded most recently by Seattle to them.
By Seattle.
And in case you didn't know, and don't think that the Yankees don't know this, but Edwin Encarnacion has 22 lifetime home runs against the Boston Red Sox.
Yes.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think that's going to be a good dogfight all the way down. I really do. Red Sox didn't help themselves very much with the start they got off to or didn't get off to, but they're playing good baseball now. So,
after a career that began 17 years ago in Arizona, Josh McCown is retiring from football.
Hmm.
And not 5 minutes later, seemingly, he agreed to be an analyst for ESPN. So he's kind of going the way of Dan Orlovsky and who else? Another quarterback that used to play.
Hasselbeck, Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, the Hasselbeck brothers. There you go. There
yeah,
you go.
Both of them have done it. So, I mean, you know.
He played for seven different teams?
He played for a lot of different teams.
Yeah. Oh, eight, I guess, according to the ESPN article here. Cardinals in 2002, spent four seasons there, then played for Detroit, Oakland, and Carolina. Also spent time with Miami and San Francisco, but never played in games for them. And then after one season out of the NFL, McCown cranked it back up again and restarted his career with the Bears from 11 to 13. 2013, he threw 13 touchdown passes and only one interception. So he's basically a understudy slash bridge quarterback for his entire career. He was on Golic and Wingo a little bit earlier this morning, and they kind of welcomed him into the.
I wonder how much money did he make in his career?
Josh McCown?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you here in about 2 seconds if you entertain.
Because that's a guy.
Ryan.
That's a guy. He didn't play a ton, but. But he probably made a pretty good amount of money and now evolves into a broadcaster where he can stay close to the game. Pretty good gig.
I'd say.
Really?
Ryan is with us. Wants to talk about Jorge Soler?
Yeah, some Soler power.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know, he's tracking to, go over 40 home runs. And I was watching him, and I've watched him for a couple of years now, but he kind of reminds me of King Kong. Remember the Sky King, Dave Kingman?
Yeah, sure.
Remember that
course.
Guy? You know, even physically. Because, they're about 6'5", 6'6". And, I mean, you're going to win a lot of money in Vegas if you just put down, hey, Soler's going to have three strikeouts, or he's going to hit the ball 440 feet.
Or stay off
well,
the DL.
Soler is... So yeah, or be on the DL. Soler is kind of one of the poster children for what I was talking about earlier in the broadcast. Home runs, strikeouts, walks, 34% of the time in Major League Baseball. I mean, Trevor Story,
Ryan,
guys like that.
Jorge Soler needs to be in the Home Run Derby. And if he's not, there's something wrong.
100%. No, he crushes.
Yeah,
it's fun to watch, and yes, I'd like to see him. We'll see what he could do with a bunch of 85 mile an hour fastballs right down the middle, and see if he can get one, to the 500 mark.
Can he hit 270?
No, he cannot hit 270.
No,
I mean,
no,
can he hit 260?
No.
I don't think so either.
If we can hit 245, if he can hit 245, if he can hit 250, 245. 40 home runs, and the Royals can't get anybody on base. So he really could turn out to be one of those, 42 home runs, 85 RBIs.
You know who else?
Think about that.
You know who else just hit 245? It's Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
If he just hit 245, the Royals offense would kind of be in business. Of course, they need to have Hunter Dozier get back too. But if a couple of those guys just hit a little bit, they'd be a lot better off. They're not going to threaten anybody for anything. But.
No, and we're still 2 years away because you need to have arms. And I think you spoke on this a couple days ago, Shane, about the our arms are in single A, you know, and little in double A. The two single A teams, though, had eight pitchers make it to the All-Star game. So, I mean, it all depends on health. But if we can keep that pipeline, it's full, and if we can just keep them, taking those stair steps up, then we really could be something in a couple of years. But Soler, let's get him in the home run derby. Enjoy the visit, guys. Rock it out.
Thanks, Ryan. Rock it out.
Man.
Appreciate you listening,
buddy. It, as always.
I'm trying to find out, why is Josh McCown's net worth eluding me? Josh McCown, who was at 2002 receiving a salary of $225,000 with the Cardinals, estimated net worth of $18.8 million. I think this is fairly up to date. Earned $125,000 for every game that he started for the Jets, not counting his $6 million fully guaranteed base salary. A lot is the answer. Yeah. Oh. Here, according in 2017, his net worth was $32 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
So being a lifetime backup is pretty good business.
Absolutely it is.
Especially for an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, ask Chase Daniel.
Sure.
He's a really rich lifetime backup, former Missouri great Chase Daniel, former Chief as well.
And don't you think, Shane, at some point you get to a point in your career where you know that's what you're going to be?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not saying comfortable with the notion, but you become kind of resigned to the fact that this is what I'm going to do, and you know what? It ain't all bad.
And you need to probably keep this in mind, although in McCown's case and everybody else's, in your first 3 or 4 years in the league, you're not thinking that way, nor should you.
No, of course not.
Because you think you're going to be, the franchise quarterback. But here's the other thing about this, and he brought it up this morning, McCown did. It's hard to be just one of the 32 guys in the world that are starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it ain't bad to be one of the 64. Or maybe even the 90, where you're going to be on a roster. And you may not stick, for very long with one particular team. But if you've proven you can do it, somebody else will have need for you, And that's exactly what happened with Josh McCown. Cardinals, Lions, Raiders, Dolphins, Panthers, 49ers, Bears, Buccaneers, Browns, Jets. If the guy's proven he can do it and you can at least trust the guy, I mean, he was around for Matt Leinart getting drafted, for Jamarcus Russell getting drafted. I mean, he was never the chosen one. He was always the clipboard holder for the next one. But, and sometimes we make it sound like being a backup quarterback is easy. It's obviously not. And then you also have the backup quarterback is the most popular guy on the team. Because when the starting quarterback starts going backwards, how come McCown's not playing? Let's start McCown,
Right.
But.
Well, yeah. But I do think that you still have your finger in the game. You're in the room. You're part of game plans. You get to do a lot of stuff. But there's probably a point where you understand this is kind of who I am. And it doesn't make you any less competitive, but I think that there's, and you just touched upon it, there are 32 jobs that everybody's fighting tooth and nail for. And is that really right? Probably, because how many of those jobs are really untouchable?
Yeah, but
there's a percentage.
But how many of those guys are
going
to play all 16 games?
No, you're right.
So you got to at least stay ready, and you're going to get some snaps here and there. You're not going to get many in practice, but, there aren't too many Ironman quarterbacks. So it's not just about, how you look with your ball cap on backwards and, relaying in the signals and ducking your head into the timeout huddles. You got to actually be ready. because, I mean, even Aaron Rodgers, you know, how do we know about Aaron Rodgers' backup before he hurt his collarbone or his knee or both or whatever, you know? So you got to stay ready. It's not like you're just stealing money, but and that's where you're where you were talking about where your competitive juices come in. It's like, oh, here we go, you know, the team's mine now for at least maybe the rest of the quarter, or the rest of the game, or a week or so, or something like that. So, but yeah, Josh McCown hung around for 17 seasons in the NFL.
Backup quarterbacks are always fun to go talk to. Because they see every, because they've got they get the view right from the top. They're in the quarterback room. They're working with the number one guy. They have a really good sense psychologically for how things are going with him. They're always really good sources of information, and they're always inevitably really good talkers. Smart guys that are that have been in the game for a while, and they know what they're talking about. So it's always a good place to go. We'll go a little NFL over-under when we return. Hang with us. So we roll through a Tuesday edition, Shane and Bruce with you. Jad Chambers takes us to break. Back in a moment.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.